Proverbs chapter 15, and this morning we're going to begin verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. This might be entitled God's distance from us and nearness to us. By way of introduction, and I'm not sure we're going to get much further than the introduction this morning, but this verse clearly shows the difference between these two classes of people, the wicked and the righteous. On the one hand, God is not far from any one of us. Acts 17:27. Acts 17:27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. But regarding his favor, he is far from the wicked. Regarding God's favor, he is far from the wicked. Psalm 34:15. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Yes, the Lord delivers the righteous out of his afflictions, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Make no mistake about that. Thomas Goodwin says that this means that the ear of God is propense. In other words, it means to incline. And in a leaning kind of posture toward the prayers of the righteous. John Trapp says that our prayers may be so faint and feeble that they cannot enter into the ears of the Lord of hosts. Yet that he will bow down and incline his ears unto our prayers and our breathings. But on the other hand, is there anything worse than to have this said of you, to have God's face against them that do evil? None of us want to have anyone think ill toward us, or about us, or to turn their back from us. And how much worse for this be the case with God himself. Jeremiah 18:17. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Our calamities and our trials can be borne if God looks toward us and inclines toward us and smiles upon us in his favor. But if he turns his back upon us and is displeased with us, and he has a deaf ear to our praying and refuses to help us, then we are going to be quite undone. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Remembering all the time, the Lord is far from the wicked. I want you to bear with me here. We're going to read this entire chapter. And I want you to listen very closely. To the Word of God, especially as it addresses those that are far from the Lord. Peter says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understood stand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise themselves liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I think this is one of the most fearful passages in the Bible. And it should give each one of us a fearful pause as we consider it. This morning, before the meeting, during the prayer meeting, Malcolm prayed that we would be preserved from error. And error comes in two ways. It comes in doctrine and it comes in practice. Bruce prayed this morning that I would have boldness to speak. And many times it would be difficult to say things that are hard. But when we think of the verse that we're looking at, the Lord is far from the wicked. Far from the wicked. When we think of our association with the ungodly, when we think of the chapter that we have just read, when we think of the danger of being entangled and overcome by sin, whether that be sin of a doctrinal nature or of practice, I'm going to deviate slightly here. But the message, I find it very difficult to even come up with the right words to describe what I'm trying to say. God's Word is very true. And God's Word is very straight. And it is very clear. And any deviation from that is not pleasing to God. It is sin. Our lives should be so governed by the Word of God that we do not depart from the Word of God in any way, or as Calvin says, to any degree, even the slightest degree, as he says. When we think of departure in practice, it wouldn't matter when about being entangled again. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That is a fearful and truthful passage. And it would make no difference how one might make his point from running from God, whatever that is. They are lame excuses. I don't care how well the words are phrased or put together, or how well it seems or appears with God, it is a lame excuse. Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Lord is far from the wicked. He heareth the prayer of the righteous. It is one way or the other. It is not both with God. Matthew 7, 24 and 26, and you don't need to turn there, and we've read this many times. Jesus says, therefore, for whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 26 says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. It is quite simple. Jesus describes the one as hearing and doing. He describes the other as hearing and not doing. The one is described as a wise man after God's own heart. The other is described as a foolish man, one that builds his house upon the sand. Both were enabled to build their house. One upon the rock, one upon the sand. And the end of the second is that when the winds blew and beat upon the house, it fell, and great, great was the fall of it. It's really very simple. One hears and does, and is considered to be wise. One hears and doesn't do, and is considered to be a fool. And all of the humanistic reasoning in the world is not going to change that with God. Because God is with God, disobedience is disobedience. It is turning your back on God. On Thanksgiving Day, in Paul's message, he said that when we feel least like praying, that's when we should be praying the most. When we feel least like attending, that's when we should be attending the most. Relief in whatever your circumstance. Relief is putting yourself under the preaching of God's Word. Being in the presence of God's people, being encouraged by the Word of God preached, and fellowship of the saints. It never ceases to amaze me. And I'm going to use the workplace, and I know that Rodney and Gabby can relate to this because they have their own business. But in the workplace, when an individual that works for you begins to have some financial problem or some marital problem in their life, one of the first things that happens is they call in sick. Is that not right? The second thing that happens, there's a no-call and a no-show, as we call it, in the workplace. Now, wouldn't you think that in the workplace, if you're having financial problems, that the last thing you would do would be to call in sick? That you would need that job? And the third thing that happens is they quit. Right? It happens every time. I've never seen it not happen that way. A person, the slightest thing, and I'm speaking of the workplace, the slightest thing that takes place that turns their life upside down just a little bit, well, I need to call in sick. I can't go to work today. I need the money, but I need something else, I guess, worse than the money. I don't quite understand it. I need the money, but I'm not going to go to work to make the money that I need. And you know what? I'm going to quit my job because that's going to make it a lot better. That's how it goes. Now, you smile at that and you laugh at that. But it also happens in the church in a similar way. We begin to miss. We begin to look for advice from others. If I'm having a problem, I want to put myself where I'm going to get solid spiritual advice, because I know that all of this is tied to the spiritual. The last thing I want to do is compound my problem. Just like Paul said on Thursday morning, when you feel least like it, that is when you need it the most. That's when you absolutely need it the most. If I'm going through a severe trial, I want to be in the presence of those that are the strongest and the most faithful example that I can find. What I don't need is to put myself in the presence of company who are weak, or show themselves to be weak, or have little understanding of the Scriptures. Because that's the advice I'm going to get back if I put myself in that company. So you have that person in the workplace. Of course they're upset. Of course they're having problems. But it is only to compound their problems to go to someone else or to put themselves in the company of others that are in the same problem. Because then it's just going to be one feeding off of the other. And there's going to be no forward movement at all. And so it is in the spiritual life. That's the last advice that you need. Because while it sounds good, and it's probably that advice that you're going to get is probably what you're already thinking yourself anyway. And what you really want is just a reconfirming of your own belief. But it's not good, sound spiritual advice. The place you need the most is to be under the preaching of God's most holy word. You need discipline and more discipline and more discipline in spiritual matters. That's the advice you need. That's the advice I need. What does Matthew 6:33 say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. But we'll turn it around somehow and we'll look for something else. What does that have to do with our text? Because the Lord is far from the wicked. And if that's the advice you're getting, the Lord is not going to be near to you. In it. It's going to be bad advice. You see, I don't need anyone to tell me to take it easy and to pamper myself. I need someone to tell me, get your eyes on the Lord and off of yourself. And just as we read recently, Philippians 3, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, looking unto Jesus, consider Him. I don't need to look at myself, and I don't need to see my own problem. I know what my problem is. I need to have my eyes on the Lord. And I need to have those that are telling me to get my eyes on the Lord more and more and more. What is the example that we have in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. Acts 41-47. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The example is that in the early church, those that were saved continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. That was the church. That is the example. Acts 12. Acts 12:12. And when they had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the door for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. When Peter had been in prison, and he had been delivered from prison, he went to the brethren who were there together praying for him. There's an example throughout Scripture that supports the church being together. And then we read this morning out of Psalm 133. How timely that is. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. That's where the blessing is. The Lord is far from the wicked. The Lord heareth the prayer of the righteous. I think this has everything to do with our text. Because God is far from the wicked, and He hears the prayer of the righteous. And we need to make right choices. Our choices in everything. Our choices of fellowship and who we receive our advice from. In closing, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Listen very carefully to this. This is a statement by John Calvin. This is a sentence that particularly deserves our attention, because when Satan cannot make a direct attack upon us, he deceives us by pretending that there is nothing wrong in our starting all sorts of speculations for the sake of finding out what truth is. Therefore, speaking from the opposite standpoint, Paul protests against that strongly, saying that we must be on our guard against the imparting of wrong information, as we would against poison that can kill at once. And here's the bottom line. For it steals its way secretly into our minds, and soon afterwards corrupts the whole of our being. Let us therefore note that there is nothing more harmful than bad teaching and ungodly speculations, which make us deviate, even in the slightest degree, from an orthodox and pure faith. For it is not with good cause that Paul exhorts us not to be deceived. As he says, it steals its way. When we receive bad advice, whether it be ungodly advice or from the ungodly, from the wicked, it steals its way into our minds, and it soon afterwards corrupts our whole being. And as he says, I don't want to deviate, even in the slightest degree, from God's Word. And I want to place myself with those that are going to be good for my soul. For my soul. First. Not second. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious, precious Word of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would burn, as it were, this message into our hearts, and that we would hate any deviation from your Word in any way and from your truth. Lord, strengthen us, because we are weak, and we confess that we are weak, and we confess that we make poor choices. Lord, help us to see that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Lord, these are two totally opposite characteristics that are described here. And there is so much fallout that comes from the evil in so many different and various ways. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be, as Calvin says, on our guard against anything that would deviate from your Word. And we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.